This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Rose Lawrence in the house. She's the owner of Red Bread. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
So what does your company do? It has something to do with bread, I'm guessing.
It does have something to do with bread and red. So we are a bakery here in Los Angeles, and we do all naturally leavened sourdough breads, pastries, and we also use 100% whole grains. We also ferment everything and really build from a pantry to make our foods really delicious and richly flavored.
So I've got to say, there's a lot of great places that make great breads.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of places, a much more majority of places that don't make good bread or good food in general. My question is, in a competitive space, the restaurant space, I'm going to just put you in that category.
Mm-hmm.
How are you standing out? How are you making yourself different? Because that's really the thing that's going to help you be successful short term and sustain long term success. It's how are you being different? Because anyone can just make bread. I know you might have recipes, so they can't maybe do the same thing. But to the consumer, it's like, I just need some food. I need some bread. How are you guys different?
I think that's a very good question. You absolutely need to stand out, or you do just get lost in the red ocean, basically.
Yeah.
Everything's red for me. I really try to, I mean, honestly, we start with the ingredients, and I think that's what really makes us stand out. We are always looking for the most local ingredients. Everything that we do in the shop comes from local California farms. We shop at the farmers markets. We have deep relationships with our farmers. And we treat our grains just like we would treat produce, which I think is pretty revolutionary. Mm. I often compare it to being in college and the only vegetable you know is broccoli, right? And then there's a whole world of produce. So most people only know wheat, and yet there's emmer, einkorn, barley, oats. And we incorporate all of that. And so I think that for most people, they see our bread and there's a deep recognition that it looks different than other people's bread. And then you put it in your mouth and that's the ultimate test.
So my question is, I love bread.
Oh, good.
Huge fan. Huge fan of carbs. Every so often I'll try to wean off just for a little bit and then come back. But I would never get into the bread business. So what inspired you to say, hey, look, I'm obviously a bread lover yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to actually get into the business of bread. Like for me, I just want to buy it and eat and consume it. What made you want to start the business, though?
Yeah, I've lived in a lot of places around the world, and so I've had the opportunity to be exposed to a lot of different food cultures and a lot of really great bread. And for the most part, bread in this country tastes like cardboard or
tissues. Okay, where's the best place you've had bread out of the country?
I think France is right up there.
France is very good. I've
yeah.
been there
so they're
multiple
rustic.
Times. Theirs is really good, but I mean, we can't have that consistently. So you're trying to sort of take that and bring it here to LA?
Yeah, I'm trying to take those traditions of breads, those deep loves of the process, and bring it here. And what really inspired me to start the business was actually I ended up in a very common health crisis, which I was told not to eat bread, dairy, and sugar. And this seemed crazy to me because I never had any problems outside the country.
Things we probably should have in moderation anyways.
Well, everything in moderation, right? Yeah. Everything has the capacity to become its nemesis and its opposite. So it's all about balance.
Yeah.
But when I was told this, it didn't really make much sense because that was my diet elsewhere and I was great. Mm. So I decided, I had a very teenage reaction, I guess. It was like, I'll show you, I'll eat bread.
Yeah.
So I started making my own bread. And honestly, the minute I put my hands into the dough, it was so visceral and it felt so great. Mm. And it turned out
brought
wonderful.
You back to being a kid playing with Play-Doh or something.
Exactly. I say that all the time in my classes that I teach around LA and around the country. It's just like, if you can remember playing with Play-Doh, you can make bread. It's within everybody's reach. I started feeding people. And then it became like I could either go broke or start a business. So with my law degree,
so
I decided to start a business. So when
somebody says stacking bread, you're actually stacking bread.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you went to law school?
I did. I went to law school. I graduated from UCLA. I started at American, and I studied international law and sustainability. So a lot of what I studied was about capacity building. And so when I got out of law school and I had this health crisis and I fell in love with bread, I realized like there's no more profound community builder than bread. So I could use all of that knowledge I had about comparing different systems and research and make great bread. And the public really met it with open arms and open mouths and hungry tummies. And we've kind of just rolled from there to keep up with demand.
I feel like you, like so many other recovering attorneys, have gone to law school for the dream. The dream of being a lawyer or a doctor and incurring lots of debt. And not for everybody.
You really
not
brought it down.
Not for everybody. And then they graduate and they don't even become lawyers or attorneys. Why?
Yeah.
You're one of them. Why?
There's a huge attrition rate. I think it's something like 80% of people, once they graduate within 5 years, aren't practicing.
Yeah, so my question is for you, what was the difference between being like, I'm so excited to do this, second you graduate, I regret the whole thing, I'm never doing this, and going into the bread business? What?
I feel like my mother has asked me the same question. For me, I think it was a little easier than for most people who dream their whole life of being a lawyer. I went into it really trying to figure out, how do I get the keys to make some change in society? So I was really open-ended to doing anything after law school. Initially, I thought I'd work for the Foreign Service because I love traveling so much. But when I fell into bread and I saw the demand and I saw the way that could be revolutionary, and bread has historically been tied to revolutions around the world. So that was very exciting to me. I think I'm wired to go after the biggest fight, and gluten was a big fight. And so
it's a big trend right now.
Yeah. So I was ready to roll with it.
Well, what lesson do you feel like, if there was one, it could be more, but if there was one lesson that you feel like, this is what law school really taught me and it's something that's been serving you now as an entrepreneur, what do you think that would be?
Ooh, I feel like I have to really honor my professors in answering this question. I think that anything is possible, that knowing that just because laws are as they are now doesn't mean they always will be. Obviously, they were created by someone. So knowing that the status quo need not be the status quo, that you are an agent of change in a variety of ways, was the biggest thing I learned. Also, obviously, great communication skills, because that's what you're taught as a lawyer, how to get your point across, how to condense information.
You're not going to be a good attorney if you can't communicate your stuff.
Yes, that would be very difficult.
Okay, so I think that's fantastic. So anything is possible, and the one thing that's guaranteed, not just with changing laws, but just in life,
is change.
Is change. We've got the owner of Red Bread, Rose Lawrence, joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to know, what do you think has been one of the hardest things you've experienced as an entrepreneur so far? Because so many aspiring entrepreneurs either overestimate, I believe, what they're able to do in their first year, and I think that it ends up hurting them. And so I want you to be real. What was a big struggle? And it was probably something that was in your first year, but it could have been something that happened recently.
So I think that the hardest thing I've had to overcome is an ongoing struggle. And I think that all entrepreneurs are going to deal with it, in that knowing that as excited and committed and passionate as you are, no one is going to love what you do as much as you love what you do. Mm-hmm. And so finding employees, not only who are committed and willing to work hard and get the job done, but also kind of being okay with the fact that they want to clock out at the end of the day, and to a degree they don't care, and that's okay. I think that's the struggle, because you pour your heart into it and you want to believe that everyone's on the same page with you. Yeah. And even if they're not, it's okay. And I think that's an ongoing struggle.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that that's one of the most difficult things, is realizing that when you're bringing people in, they're probably not going to be, and this isn't always the case. We've had so many people come through that have differing opinions, which is what I love about a show like this, is we get so many successful people, all of their differing opinions, and you see what works for you. But I 100% agree. I think that bringing people in that are going to be just as in love with the impact you're having and the vision for the company is not always easy. And I think that's the key to having a successful company.
Yeah.
Is building a culture and finding the right people that are in alignment with the values and the mission of what the company is built for the impact it's trying to have, for the lives you are trying to change, both internally for the people who you get to pay as employees growing the company. What do you feel like, though, because I think that's a huge lesson, but what do you feel like are some beginner things? So there's a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs that tune in with us, and they're trying to figure out, what does it look like if I'm going to cut the only source of income I have from my job? And I'm going to go all in on this thing called entrepreneurship and be a business owner, which I've never done. I have no idea what I'm doing. But I'm going to cut the cord from my only source of income and be an entrepreneur and start this business, start this passion that I've always had. But I don't really know what to do yet. And I'm terrified, like most people, on a spectrum of being scared, what it's going to look like. So what do you feel like are a couple things that they absolutely need to know when they get started or before they get started?
I think you have to become really accustomed to failure and be excited about failing, because that's how you learn. And in general, I think we sort of tell people don't make mistakes and don't fail. So we create added fear, and yet that is the space where you can really grow. You know, if you don't fail in your first year, then I think you're really going to fail in your fifth year, and you're not going to be able to recover from it.
Yeah, that's
so
a great
it's
point.
Good to fail in the beginning. Yeah. I would highly encourage entrepreneurs to collaborate and just stay committed, because you know, even if you are a seasoned entrepreneur and this is your fifth business, it's different in any industry you go into. You're going to encounter different problems. So much of the world is changing with technology that it's always a new frontier. And if you're excited about that, if you're always willing to be learning and talking to people and think about the people around you not as competitors but collaborators and see what you can add to it, I think that you will see yourself slowly succeed. But you made a good point. Like, oftentimes entrepreneurs are like, I'm going to do this all at once, and it's going to be grand. Yeah. And setting realistic goals are really good too. And celebrating them as well, even if they're small, really boosts the morale for you and for the people working with you.
Fantastic points. We're going to continue to peel back the layers on what makes your company successful. Keep extracting some of this wisdom. We'll be right back with Rose Lawrence. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. And we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business.
Meet Evan Goldberg, founder of NetSuite.
I had to learn that the hard way with my first company. That's why I started NetSuite. I needed to see everything that was going on with my business in one place. So we built the world's first cloud business system. And after 20 years, over 16,000 companies run their businesses on NetSuite. Everything you need to keep growing is in one place. Financials, HR, commerce, customer info, and more. NetSuite gives you the visibility and control you need to make smart decisions and grow with confidence. That's why companies who use NetSuite grow 3 times faster than the S&P 500.
Find out the rest of Evan's story and get your free guide titled 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits at netsuite.com/bigger. That's netsuite.com/bigger for your free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits. Go right now to netsuite.com/bigger.
You shouldn't have.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Rose Lawrence joining us. She's the owner of Red Bread. Recap first what your company does.
So my company is a bakery located here in Los Angeles, and we do all natural leavened breads, pastries with 100% whole grains, and we ship nationally, so you can get anywhere.
All right. So big trend, raising money. There's shows like The Profit, Shark Tank, CNBC's Billion Dollar Buyer with Tillman Fertitta. Actually, we've had Damon John from Shark Tank on.
Oh.
And we've had the billionaire Tillman Fertitta on, so you're sitting in the same chair they sat.
Ooh,
so,
lucky.
Raising money is a big trend. My question, did you bootstrap or did you raise money?
So we did a little of both, actually. We definitely put our own savings in. I don't think that you can get away from doing that. Oh, my husband and I.
Okay.
So we put our own funds in. We did a Kickstarter campaign that was successful. We raised about $35,000 from our community.
We can't blow past that. Tell us about that. What was it?
It was a Kickstarter to launch the first brick and mortar. So we were at the Santa Monica Farmers Market,
so
which
is more than one.
Huh?
There's more than one store.
Oh, there was the one store. And we closed it down about a year ago, and we're looking for a larger space right now. So real estate can be tricky, and that's what we're really committed to right now. And we do production instead and ship to your door, which has proved a really great model in order to get these kinds of breads that you don't find in the heartland or other places in the country to more people. And it arrives to your door, so it couldn't be more convenient.
Fantastic.
So the Kickstarter was very successful. It was very nerve-wracking. You know, your public has never done a Kickstarter campaign. The money all tends to come in the last 48 hours. So you're just like biting your nails at the computer, hoping people love you. And then we ended up finding some partners here in LA who found us, essentially, and were so excited about our product and wanted to invest. And so we partnered with them for a while. Nice. And that's how it all came together. So I think you have to be very open to different ways of funding and find out what's right for you.
So for getting back to brick and mortar versus online, what do you feel like is the big difference? For people out there that are like, should I start my company or should I branch out from a brick and mortar to online? Or maybe I'm online, should we do a brick and mortar, right? There's so many different scenarios. You've experienced both.
Yeah.
What is the sort of difference between brick and mortar and online?
I think that online allows you to really cut down on your overhead. So if you're just launching and you feel pretty savvy interacting with social media and taking advantage of SEO, I would absolutely recommend just get your business started, because then you can start learning those lessons as an entrepreneur. And there's so many tools now online to help you do that. But if you're looking to have a lasting impact, people are always going to want to meet you face to face. You know, they want to see the person behind the story. They want to touch the tangible items, especially if you're doing what I'm doing, which is food.
I want to smell the bread.
Yeah, you want to smell the bread, right? And the cookies and everything baking. So again, I think it is like knowing what your product is and vetting out what the best resource is for you. And in some larger cities, you know, real estate can be a real hurdle for a new entrepreneur to get involved in. So it's really, there's no better time to sort of make your dream come true because you do have online, which, you know, 40, 50 years ago was not an option.
Yeah, and it's also more cost effective than it's ever been before to put up a website, to get it, you know, properly structured and have a little maybe funnel in the back or plug in an e-commerce for selling products and doing marketing.
Yeah, it's never been more approachable too. I mean, you really should if you're looking to do. Yeah, I mean, there's Wix, there's Squarespace, there's tons of things where you can just plug and play, essentially. Yeah. So it shouldn't be a hurdle. And knowing how to make a website, I think, is the new literacy of this century. So everyone should get on board that and at least become literate in it a little.
100%. I think most people are not spending what I believe to be enough time making sure that they at least are aware of what is happening in the online marketing space. So I'm glad that you brought that up. We've got the owner of Red Bread, Rose Lawrence, joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to know what you guys are doing on social media. We're talking about that right now, so break it down for us. So using Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook,
so we use primarily Instagram. We also use Twitter and Facebook. We don't use Snapchat a lot because a lot of what we do, we like to remain there, both as our portfolio and for people to sort of scroll through and order a lot of custom items. So having things that remain in one place is really valuable to us. Also, because we're working in food, which is a largely visual medium, right? You eat with your eyes first. These are the most successful for us. I have also noticed that in terms of converting from social media to sales, Instagram is incredibly powerful because people feel, especially if you set up the photo right, they feel like they could be the one taking that bite or they are going to be the one taking that bite.
Yeah.
So we have a large following on Instagram. We are at Red Bread. And then on Facebook, we do a lot of information sharing. So we'll post longer form videos where you can see me shaping things. We'll post articles about how grains are evolving in this country.
So educational.
Yes, not education.
Not just food.
Yeah, we try to make it educational because a lot of what we are doing, as we talked about in the beginning, is unique. So unique that it involves educating the public or re-educating the public.
Yeah.
And so we really use that platform to share information, to be collaborators with the public. And Twitter, we also do the same thing. Although I would say Twitter, we primarily use to sort of give snaps to our fellow bakers and people that we're collaborating with, because we really want to show the people that inspire us and the community we're a part of. And I think that there is evolving communities online. I've met so many great other entrepreneurs through just simple interactions of reaching out and being like, hey, I love what you do. We should do something sometime.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think networking, which can be really scary for a lot of people, is so easy in the online space. You know, I read this great book in law school called Never Eat Lunch Alone, and it has a lot of skills. So if you're scared and you don't know how to network.
Isn't it Keith Ferrazzi?
I think so.
It's Keith Ferrazzi,
yeah. And it's a great book because it's really simple, approachable ways to just kind of make friends, which is what networking is all about.
It's so important. I think relationships is one of the most undervalued things that I see in business.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are just, they're doing it on their own.
Yeah.
So somebody says, hey, I love Rose Lawrence. She's inspirational. I want to follow her. Maybe I want to get in touch with you. And maybe they even want to buy some of your bread. Where can they do that?
So you can buy our bread on our website. It's eatredbread.com.
Okay.
You can get in touch with me by emailing me directly or contacting us through Instagram. I also do pop-ups around LA, and I'll be doing a pop-up in New York soon. So I'm starting to do pop-ups in other parts of the country. And I teach a ton of classes. So I'm really committed to educating and sharing my knowledge. And we teach classes in bread making, pastry making, working with whole grains. I really want to create such an overwhelming demand in the customer's mouths so that everyone meets that demand. Because that's how we end up with better bread in this country as a foundation and also more sustainable agriculture. For me, like you said earlier, it's not just about making a dollar, it's about making a difference. And that's really like an underlying foundation for our business.
Well, fantastic. I appreciate you for coming on the show. And I love seeing somebody who's not only passionate about their business, but also about bread.
So grateful to be here. You're wonderful to talk to. Thank you so much.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Office distractions can kill production. Here's a few tips to fight off those workplace interruptions. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, turn off the white noise. What you think is white noise from the TV or radio could be a bigger distraction than you realize. Number two, clean up. Make sure your office or desk is orderly and comfortable so you are in the optimal space to be productive. Number three, take it one step at a time. If you feel yourself getting pulled in different directions, just stop and focus on one task until it's completed. Number four, take a break. Go through your to-do list and prioritize and ask yourself, does this really need to get done today or can I do it tomorrow? I'm Alex Worley and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Creeble.
I remember watching my grandmother spend hours doing housework, like washing dishes, doing laundry, and hanging it out to dry. They called it Laundry Day because that's how long it took. Labor-saving appliances were among the great advancements of the last century, especially washing machines and dishwashers. They freed generations of women from the drudgery of such chores. By 1983, dishwashers could finish in 30 minutes, and laundry took less than an hour. Then, the government began regulating water and energy use. Congress adopted federal standards, and today's appliances take three times longer. Now, many people wash and dry things twice, so they're not saving water or energy. The government ought to tend to its own dirty laundry and leave mine alone. It's just not that complicated.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.org.
This is Business Rockstars.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. And joining me today is Mark Wirtz, the author of America's Simple Solutions. Give us the quick background. I know you just say common sense. That's what the book's about. But expand a little bit on it for us.
Amazon calls it a book and classifies it under political and economic, and also in another section, which is called political freedom. So I guess I'm going to acquiesce to Amazon and say that I wrote a book about politics and about economics.
What inspired you to write this book?
I have 2 4-year-olds, twins, adorable, and I'm watching this car driving towards a brick wall, and I don't want them 20 years from now say, well, if you saw it, why didn't you say something?
That's what inspired you to write the book.
That's right.
Okay. What's the takeaway from the book? I read the book. What do I walk away with?
I think that basically Mark Lack makes the best decisions for Mark Lack and not somebody in a city far away that you know what you need. And if we will permit you to achieve what you need, you'll do the best job of anybody.
I want to talk about right now the business that you're a founder of, right? American Rags?
American Rag, yes.
Okay. And what is that?
Basically, we're entertainment retailers.
You created all the clothing, or you sell all the clothing that you're wearing?
I sell all the clothing I'm wearing, yes. Basically, for many, many years, we're harbingers of retail. We do things far in advance of the rest of the market. And long ago, I decided that I didn't like shopping. And if I went to a store, I wanted it to be fun and an experience. So we do food, we do shoes, we do books, we do apparel, we do denim very well, we do watches, jewelry, we do many, many, many things. And it's entertainment.
I know that that's one of the hardest industries and businesses to be in. Clearly, you've been successful at it. So what's been the key to your success?
I'm not about value. I'm really about an aesthetic. I'll put something that's gorgeous for $3 next to something that's $10,000. So there's no rules. You know, a department store breaks things down by department, right? Mm. Because that's what they do, right? I wouldn't mind selling, you know, a washing machine that was phenomenal next to a blow dryer, next to a fantastic watch. And you know, if they were all black, and they, you know, aesthetically were pleasing, and then I'd put a book in front of them on black automobiles.
How did you come up with this philosophy? Because it's definitely different and unique than a lot of people out there.
I'm not a retailer by family or by, it's by accident. So I didn't know the rules. So, and I have very simple business philosophy. I seek pleasure and avoid pain. And losses are painful and profits are great pleasure. So basically whatever works, that's what I do. And I really don't, you know, I don't have like a guidebook of how to do this.
You've obviously got some sort of a background in human psychology or have studied Tony Robbins, because the biggest thing he teaches is humans are driven by two needs. The need to avoid pain and the need to gain pleasure, or the combination of the two. And so people statistically from, you know, research-based science have shown that people from the psychology background are 500% more driven and motivated to avoid pain than they are to gain pleasure. And so you can see advertisers tapping into this all of the time, our need to avoid pain. You say that you're more motivated by gaining pleasure. And of course, right, it's a combination of the two. We all are. But my question is, how did you develop or recondition yourself to focus more on gaining pleasure than the need to avoid pain?
Well, I'm actually a products guy. So products turn me on. So I love to see anything that's done perfectly, beautifully, and that someone went the
aesthetics, right?
Aesthetics, right. That someone went the extra mile to make it perfect, because most people don't want to make things perfect. So if you're going to make something perfect, I think I can recognize that. And I love that sort of thing. So to me, it's like having a sailboat, you know, like if you have a beautiful sailboat and it's a windy day, that sailboat's absolutely going to go. So I always thought to have, you know, the best selection on planet Earth, take the time to do it, and that I never had to worry about pain.
So playing devil's advocate with you here, and I think that some people would say that perfection is an opinion. So how can you craft something? And of course, I mean, you could look at a Lamborghini or a person or art and say that it's perfect. So how do you come up with the idea that you're creating something perfect?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, period.
Correct.
So you know, I trust my instincts and my judgment. I find out everything I can about the products that I sell, and I want to determine that the product that I sell is the best product. So, you know, I take the time to do that.
So somebody like yourself, with all your business experience and wisdom, if you could take all of that back into the past with you, but you lost all your relationships, all your connections, all you have is the knowledge that you have within your head right now, but you had to start completely over, you have nothing except for your wisdom, but you've got a laptop with internet connection and $500. How do you get started?
One, I think there's a prerequisite that you can't have fear. And so you can have no fear to fail, because there is no failure, because failure is part of success. So you just have what's called GUTS, that's guts, and you just frickin' go for it. And if you have confidence in yourself, you'll figure it out. I don't mind wallowing around in the mud and getting dirty, because I know that by doing that, I'll find the way. So it's just a feeling of self-confidence.
So would you start in the same industry that you've been in with your knowledge in that, or would you go into a new space?
Right now, I'm working on a new concept called Fast Gourmet. And it's involved with the minimum wage laws, which I find absolutely absurd. But anyway, so, you know, like 40% of the restaurant industry will close or go busto with the minimum wage. So I'm in the process of making very beautiful foods in a restaurant environment on paper plates and plastic and with no servers and everything on an iPad. So I've just taken out all the waiters and that out of the equation.
What are you guys doing for marketing? How do you get American Rag out there?
The most important, I've taken all sorts of surveys. The most important marketing tool that we have is word of mouth and satisfied customers. They are our greatest salespeople. So we try and make every experience, one experience at a time, a valuable experience, a value-oriented experience, and it just goes. Obviously, social media and that sort of thing is taking, you know, the marketing world by storm. But we start with our customer.
I love that. I want to talk about customer service with you, because you have a great extensive background in that. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining me is Mark Wirtz, the author of America's Simple Solutions, a book about common sense, correct?
That's right. That's exactly right.
So let's talk about your background in customer service. You've been in business for what, 40 years?
1971.
All right. So just a little bit more than that then. So share with us, tips and tricks to having incredible, some people call it gold star customer service.
It's not about you, it's about the customer. So that's like rule
101.
Yeah, 101. you know, when I go into a store and someone tells me what I can and can't do and this and that, I mean, I don't want to know about that. So, you know, like we just take that idea and we translate that to our customer. Nobody wants to come into any sort of a business environment and have everyone dictate what he can and can't do and what he must and must not do in order for him to spend his money at that place.
Why do you think companies are doing that? Because I love your philosophy, but yet that's what so many people are doing.
And that's why we have so many failures today. So, you know, it's...
it really goes back to people not treating the customers the way they want to be treated.
Customer is king, period. Yeah. That's it. Discussion over.
So businesses that are not constantly serving their customers, constantly getting feedback for how to adjust their products, their services, what business they should be in, should not be in, they're going to fail.
Can I finish that?
Yeah.
Those businesses go out of business.
And you know better than anybody. You've got over 40 years in the business world. What's been the key to your survival long-term? Is it just customer feedback? Can we just tie it right back into that?
I'm a bit of a contrarian. If everybody's going left, then I'm over here exploring right.
You're going where the puck's going?
Well, yeah, right. My company was called American Rag Company, okay? And my beginning was in discards. So what people discarded, that was my business. That was my original business.
How did you come up with that as a business model? I think a lot of people might... So basically, can we call it trash? Or just rags?
Well, it was used clothing.
Okay.
American Rag was used clothing.
And now it's not.
It's about 7%, something like that, 7-8% used clothing, and the rest is all newly manufactured goods.
What led you to wanting to make that shift to grow your business?
Avoid pain and seek pleasure. Very simple.
So you guys feel like you wouldn't have been able to thrive had you stuck to
that
original
model? We couldn't have grown because obviously change is the standard, not the exception.
How did you see old clothes as an opportunity back then?
Well, actually, I didn't know anything about anything. And I had some wonderful, wonderful gentleman who later became an absolute mentor. He told me that he asked me how much money I had. And I told him at that time, it was in 1971, it was $21,000. And he said, if I gave him 30% of my money, he'd make me rich. And so that was in Queens, New York. And so I got on the plane, went back to Amsterdam where my wife was waiting for me. And I said, I just met this guy, it was fabulous. He said, if I gave him 30% of my money, he'd make me rich. And she said, you fell for that? And I said, he had something in his eye, a twinkle in his eye. So I said, why don't you come and we'll go meet him? So we went to Paris almost the next week, met this guy. He didn't show up, but he showed up late. And I gave him the $7,000 and he put me in the used clothing business.
And so, did it end up happening like you said?
Kinda.
What do you mean? I mean, clearly you ended up where you're at today as a result of that being one of the first chapters of your life or the domino effect.
Right.
So it worked out though? For people listening in, do you trust the guy with the twinkle in his eye?
Yeah. Personal judgment is a very, you know, like...
Your gut feeling,
yeah,
your intuition?
Yeah, gut feeling. You can't describe that.
Where can people learn more about you?
Certainly on my social media page, Mark I. Wirtz, author, and in my book, America's Simple Solutions. It's a lot of my philosophy.
Where can they find that? Amazon.
It's available online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores everywhere.
Awesome. People know where to find you now. I appreciate you for coming on our show, Mark.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Entrepreneurs learn something new every day, but these nuggets will put you ahead of the game. Here's a few management tips that will transform you into a great leader. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, be strong. People have a hard time believing in leaders who don't quite seem to believe in themselves. Second-guessing your choices and actions won't just negatively affect your own attitude, but also those of your team. Number two, don't let people fail for you. Take responsibility for both your successes and your failures. Don't blame failures on someone else. Instead, hold yourself accountable. Number three, stay sharp. Being a great leader isn't about sitting back and barking orders. As a matter of fact, you should be the hardest worker at your company. This gives you a realistic idea of what it's like to work at your company, which helps you lead more efficiently and build better relationships with your team. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
President Trump said recently?
Newsmax. You like Newsmax. I like it too. I like it too.
Now you can watch Newsmax TV and get the truth about Trump from Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, and more. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in 70 million homes. Find Newsmax on DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, and more systems. See Newsmax TV today. It's real news for real people.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its MBA and Business Analytics Master's degree programs offered 100% online. Learn more about the top-ranked W.P. Carey business degrees online. Text RANK to 79645. Again, that's RANK to 79645.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hey, have you ever thought to yourself, I would like to become an entrepreneur?
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
To inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs, I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. How can you alter your mindset to achieve your business goals? Here to answer that question with me is Felina Hansen. You're the author of Flight Club and the founder of Hera Hub. Give us a quick elevator pitch. What is Hera Hub?
Hera Hub is a shared workspace for female entrepreneurs, business accelerator program as well.
Okay, so I know you have an incredible story about how you've triumphed your adversity. And a lot of the stuff that we like to talk about is the mindset.
Yes.
And so our question is, how can you alter your mindset to achieve your business goals? So let's dive right in.
I've been fortunate throughout my career to have the opportunity to really reflect on this mindset piece. And it's been through personal challenges, both physical and emotional. And my mantra, so to speak, is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that's been very true for my story and a lot of others as well. We've all been through something. And as an entrepreneur, the mindset piece of it is probably one of the most important things. Obviously, you have to have a great idea. You have to have a market that's willing to purchase your product or service. But to get you through the bumps in the road, which there are going to be many, you have to have the right mindset. So in the book, one of my contributors talks about really, how do you identify those challenges in your life? So number one, how do you really just map out, lay it out? What is, you know, the challenge? What's bothering you? What is the issue? How do you discern how that's going to affect your life and your business? And the most important piece of that, Mark, is the detachment piece. And I don't want to sound like, you know, we're detached from the world, but I think a lot of us get very wrapped up in other people, what's happening, how people are reacting to who we are, what our business is. And there actually needs to be some detachment from that. So as that relates to female entrepreneurship, which is primarily the community that we serve, we really focus on that, having the perspective of worry about the things that you can control, not, you know, other people, yeah, so to speak. My two favorite quotes and mantras I live by.
I love quotes and mantras.
Yes, exactly. And one came from my grandfather and one came from Tony Soprano. So the first one is...
Let's hear the one from Gramps first.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Really, being able to take the perspective on a situation and say, if I worry about something, you know, I get wrapped up in it, is it going to change the outcome? And a lot of times it doesn't. And so worry about the things that you can control. Worry about the things that are in your realm and don't worry about the rest of it. And so much of that is true in business. You can't control what your competition's going to do. You can't control what your landlord's going to do. You have to work within the parameters. So that mindset of being positive, having that vision, looking forward, keeping your eyes on the prize. I mean, I know these all sound like cliches, but they're so true.
But we don't practice them as often as we
should. We don't, exactly, because we get wrapped up in our day-to-day. One of my other favorite phrases we use a lot at HeraHub, and I attribute to one of our members, is first world problems.
Yeah, champagne problems.
Exactly, exactly. Really step back and look at the perspective and say, what have I been given? What am I here to do? And can I kind of float above that and have that needed perspective or detachment from that situation and keep pushing through?
Felina Hansen is my guest. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Felina Hansen is the author of Flight Club, and you're also the founder of HeraHub, which is an incubator and a space where entrepreneurs can rent out some offices. I love what you're all about, and we're talking about mindset right now. Yep. One of my favorite mindset tricks or hacks or things that I've learned on the journey is something from Albert Einstein, the law of relativity. You were just saying that, you know, your grandpa said, it is what it is, and I love that. And I think everything is what it is, but it's all relative. And so if you can understand that everything is relative, nothing is bad, nothing is good, you label it and give it meaning. Yep. And so everything just is what it is. And then you decide, you determine, you define what the circumstances mean. What happens to you is what it is, but then you get to choose. And in that moment of choosing what the things in your life that happen to you mean, that's where you either have the power or you give the power to the circumstances and the events and the people in your life. And so give us an example where you've had something happen and where most people might let that thing be a bad thing, you chose to define and determine the meaning of that event in a way that most people wouldn't, but as a result, it totally changed your life.
So this was even recent in my current business, and there's been a lot of examples of this, but I'll give the example of commercial real estate. So I went through two failed lease negotiations when I first tried to open my business. It was a new business, a new model. All I had was a fancy business plan and some financial projections. I couldn't get a lease to save my life. And I really, in the 11th hour after negotiating month after month, got bumped out of two different deals. Wow. And really, I, you know, for a moment, I did question, am I on the right path? If every door is closing in front of me, am I maybe not approaching this in the right way?
Which is normal. We all
Which
have self-doubts.
Exactly.
Asking
exactly.
the wrong questions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I like to listen to, you know, what doors are opening and which are closing. But I did have the perseverance to try it again and try a different angle. And that's the biggest piece, too, is, you know, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? So how can you say, all right, I still have this vision, this mission, I still want to do this, but can I approach it from a different perspective? Can I look at it and flip it on its side entirely differently and approach it differently? And that's what I did. And ultimately, was able to get my first lease, which, again, sounds crazy that it would be hard to do, but as a new entrepreneur, it's challenging.
I love that story. And one of my favorite little mindset hacks, and I'm wondering if you apply this too or if you have another one. And so do you have any GTQs, any go-to questions that when you're struggling or when you're having, you know, conflict with somebody or just any time in your life where you have, you know, an opportunity to shift how you want to feel? Because we have stress throughout the day. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, things that happen. Do you have go-to questions that help shift how you feel?
Great question. And I wish I was more eloquent in this, but mine is extremely simple. It is, I mean, literally, I picture myself floating above a situation.
Mm. I know that's called disassociation.
I guess so. Exercise, yes, yeah. Perhaps. I didn't know the label for it, but literally, I just pull myself out of that situation and I give myself perspective, almost as if I was somebody else looking
at
the
situation. Space. So I love that you have some amazing little tips and things to share on the mindset. I really appreciate you for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
And I love your book. I hope this is my copy so
Absolutely,
I can read it.
Absolutely, of course.
Flight Club, Felina Hansen. Thank you so much. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.